Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah this morning, Nehemiah chapter 1. Our yearly theme this year is based upon Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, the theme of revival. God of eternity, revive the spirit of the humble, revive the heart of the contrite ones. During the month of May, we'd like to encourage you to pray with me for the reviving of our homes. And then during the month of June, we'll be focusing upon God revive my devotional life. We are in need of revival. And here in Nehemiah chapter 1, I'd like for us to note this morning the setting of the stage for revival by Nehemiah of old. A number of weeks ago, we studied the lives of two kings of Israel, Hezekiah and Josiah, and how God used these men to bring revival during their reigns. Let's read Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray that you would teach us from your word this morning. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. The background to the book of Nehemiah is that Nehemiah is serving under Persian rule, and there is a remnant back in Jerusalem living amongst the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, where the Babylonians came in, destroyed the city and broke down the walls. And Nehemiah has a visit from a group of men. And Nehemiah asks the question, how are you going? How are things going back in Jerusalem? And we see from the passage of Scripture, their answer. And we note from the passage of Scripture how Nehemiah responds to what he hears. God used Hezekiah and God used Josiah to bring about revival during their reign. And down through history, God has predominantly used men to bring revival. Today, God still wants to use men to lead the way into personal and national revival. And that's why we are having a men's prayer for revival during the course of the year. Because we need to take the lead. And we see down through history that God has used many a man to lead God's people into revival. Nehemiah is a man that God uses to bring about a revival amongst God's people. And God uses Nehemiah not only to help the people of God, to motivate the people of God, to organize the people of God in the rebuilding of the broken wall that surrounded Jerusalem once upon a time. But Nehemiah is instrumental in setting the stage for the rebuilding of God's people. See, it was one thing to rebuild the walls. Far greater challenge was to rebuild God's people. And we see here in Nehemiah chapter 1 and leading into chapter 2, principles from the life of Nehemiah that prepared God's people for a time of personal and national revival. It began with an awareness. The awareness of the need. This is my first main point this morning. The awareness of the need. And we see that spelled out from verses 2 to 4. Before there can be revival, before there was revival in the days of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was made aware of the condition of the people. And it was only when he learnt of their true state that he became burdened to act. Now he was made aware of the following, spelled out in the third verse. It reads, "The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction." So Nehemiah asked the question, how are our people back in the land? And the men said to Nehemiah, they are in great affliction. They are in trouble. They are doing it tough. They are experiencing hard times. And Nehemiah is made aware of this very fact. And my friend, may I submit to you that we are in need of personal and national revival because people today are in trouble. People today are doing it tough. People today are experiencing hard times. There is a need for personal and national revival because people are in great affliction. The third verse goes on to read, not only great affliction and reproach. That remnant back in Jerusalem are not only in trouble, doing it tough, doing it hard, but they are experiencing reproach. They are being persecuted. They are being mocked. They are being shamed. My friend, is this not what we are seeing today? Biblical Christianity is being attacked from every angle. We are in need of personal and national revival because we have an epidemic of reproach upon the people of God. Just for standing on the basics of a stable society. To say that I believe that a man is a man, a woman is a woman, a male only marries a female. That is marriage according to God's standards. And then you have children within the context of a marriage. And you raise those children for God's glory. And you live according to the Word of God. Basics, foundational, biblical principles of a stable society. And yet we are experiencing reproach after reproach after reproach. That's why we need personal and spiritual revival. Because God's people need to speak up. And God's people need to live out the principles found in the Word of God. And the next time you get asked, what is a man? Don't be ashamed to say, a man is not a woman. A woman can have babies, a man cannot. Does that answer your question? Or shall we move on from there? Don't be ashamed to stand up for what is true and what is biblical. And in Nehemiah's day, God's people were being reproached. They were being shamed. They were in trouble. Then the Bible goes on to read in the third verse, and the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. And the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Nehemiah was made aware of the need of God's people. They were in great affliction. They were experiencing reproach. And thirdly, they were in need of protection. See, the walls were broken down. That helpless remnant in the land were an easy prey for the enemy to attack and destroy. They did not have what it took to fortify themselves against the forces of evil. My friend, are we aware of what's taking place around us? Do we not see the brokenness of people's lives all around us? It was Jeremiah who said in Lamentations 1:12, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me. Is it nothing to you? My friend, is it nothing to you that lives are shattered all around us? Is it nothing to you that God's people are not living godly in Christ Jesus? Is it nothing to you that the very bedrock of society, the home, has been torn apart limb from limb? Is it nothing to you? Beloved, we are in need of revival. Many of God's people have become victims of the devil because of the walls of their lives are not standing. They are not fortifying their lives with the precious Word of God. They've allowed sin to knock down their defense. And they have become an easy prey for the devil because of their deliberate disobedience to the Word of God. And this group of men said to Nehemiah, of old, the walls are broken down. We have no defense. The gates are burnt down. We are an easy prey. Beloved, if we want to be instruments of revival in 2022, we need to stand back and observe and listen to what is taking place around us. There are broken lives all around us. Those that do not and will not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they wonder why life is tough. They wonder why life is rough. When they openly reject Jesus Christ as Savior, my friend, why will you continue to live contrary to the Word of God by rejecting Jesus Christ when He offers you and I life, abundant life? For Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. And yet we see it all around us. The people have no time for the things of God. They mock and scoff the things of God. Do we not see the godliness and the filthiness that prevails all around us? We're in need of revival. Do we not see so many Bible-believing Christians that have chosen to live outside of the Word of God and are reaping the consequences. For the way of the transgressor is hard. See, Nehemiah was made aware. He was made aware. God's people are in trouble. God's people are being mocked. God's people have no protection. Setting the stage for a revival, Nehemiah was made aware. And beloved, if we want to see revival in 2022, we need to open up our eyes. Have a good look around. The next time you're at the shops, just have a look at how little children are behaving with their parents. Just have a good look. Just have a good look at how people are dressed. Have a good look at people's countenance. Have a good look. The awareness of the need. Oh, Pastor, things aren't that bad. Yes, they are. And the sooner you admit it and confess it, the sooner we will be revived. So Nehemiah was made aware. Now, how does he respond to that? Well, he appeals to God. And that's the essence of verses 4 all the way down to verse 11. That upon hearing that God's people were being afflicted, were experiencing reproach, and were unprotected, in verse 4 it reads, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So as soon as Nehemiah was made aware of the state of his people, he looked to God for help. And beloved, we need to look to God for help. How does he appeal to his God on the behalf of God's people? Well, we see here in verses 4 leading to verse number 5 that he upholds the majesty and the holiness of God. Note then verse 5, he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy, for them that love him and observe his commandments. Nehemiah doesn't come before God demanding anything. The Bible teaches he beseeches, he begs for God to work. And we see here in verse number 5 that Nehemiah has a very high opinion of the person and the position of Almighty God. He did not come as an equal, but as a subject to Almighty God, bowing reverently before Almighty God, acknowledging his person, acknowledging his position as the Almighty God. He appeals before an Almighty God. And beloved, if you and I are to see revival in our day, then we need to make our appeal and understand in making our appeal, we are going before the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is Lord God Almighty. So we don't see that Nehemiah is demanding anything. We live in a day of demand, instant demand. You walk into McDonald's and you want that Big Mac, they're right there and then. Demand. We don't see this in the life of Nehemiah. He's beseeching. He's prepared to bow the knee before Almighty God and beseech God. The Almighty God, God work, please, we are in trouble. We are being shamed. Our walls are broken down. Oh, Almighty God, we beseech you. We see persistence in verse number 6. Look at verse number 6, please. Are you still with me? Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6, let thine ear now be attentive. and that I and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. Note, which I pray before thee now, day and night. Day and night. Nehemiah prayed for the reviving of God's people. He was prepared to hold on to the horns of God's altar as long as he needed to in order to warrant the listening ear of God. See, importunity conveys seriousness. It conveys a strong desire. It conveys sincerity. Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And then in Luke 11:8, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Beloved, if we are serious about revival in 2022, we need to get serious with God. We need to acknowledge the holiness and the majesty of God and be prepared to spend time in his presence day and night. The sad reality is that many of us haven't prayed all week. The last time you prayed was this morning, while we prayed. We see Nehemiah is persistent in his appeal. We see that Nehemiah upholds the majesty of Almighty God. And yet verse 6 goes on to read, note here in verse 6 it reads, "I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servant," and let's say it together, "confess." Confess the sins of the children of Israel. Sins, plural. Note, "which we have" what? "Sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned." And look at verse 7. "We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses." So in his appeal to God, he acknowledges God's majesty. He's prepared to pray day and night. And Nehemiah is also willing to identify with the sins of his people. He confesses his personal sin, or sins and the sins of God's people. He readily admits that God's people have not been right with God. And this is why we are where we are at today. And my friend, can I submit to you, we are where we are at today because many of God's people have not lived according to God's word. Amen, Pastor. The reason why many of us are struggling in our Christian experiences because we have violated the clear teachings of the Word of God. And Nehemiah was prepared to admit his sin, and he was prepared to admit the sin of his people, and the reason why God's people are in trouble, the reason why God's people are being shamed, the reason why God's people are defenseless, because God's people have turned their back on God and his eternal word. And that's why we need revival, do we not? He was willing to humble himself and admit his sin and the sin of his people. "We have not kept thy commandments," he said. "We have dealt very corruptly against thee." What honesty. What honesty. Are you prepared to be fully honest before God? I've often said it, I'll say it again. All of us think we're a little bit more spiritual than what we really are. Smile. You know it's true. All of us think that we're just a little bit more spiritual than what everybody thinks of us and than what we really are. All of us have a way to go. And really, the truth be known, for most of us, we have a long way to go. That's reality. And Nehemiah was prepared to confess his own sin and the sin of his people. And the reason why we are in trouble as a people and being shamed and suffering this reproach and trouble, because we have lived contrary to the word of God. And then we read from verses 8 to 11. He confesses his sin. He upholds the majesty of God. And here from verses 8 to 11, he makes his appeal based upon the promises of God. Let's note verses 8 to 11. It reads, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee." Note the reoccurrence of the word beseech, not demand, beseech. "Let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants." There are those that desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man. That's in reference to the king. "For I was the king's cupbearer." So Nehemiah speaks in the first person. So that's my position. I'm the king's cupbearer. But as the king's cupbearer, I have a burden for my people back in Jerusalem. And he appeals to Almighty God, confessing the sin of his own and of his people. His appeal is based upon the promises of God. My friend, God put a rainbow in the sky to remind us that God will be true to his word. Last Thursday, on the way to Bible college to lecture, there was a beautiful rainbow there on Lane Cove Road. I was feeling a little bit weary. I was feeling a little bit tired. I was feeling a little bit burdened down. I know it's hard to believe. And I was not looking forward to lecturing all morning. But as we were driving down Lake Road, there was this beautiful rainbow. And it was as if God said, "My son, should be right, mate. My promises are true. My grace is sufficient. What I said I will do, I will do. Don't forget the rainbow." Amen. And what Nehemiah did, he went back to the rainbow and said, "God, you promised to bless obedience. You promised to judge disobedience. And if we will obey you, you promise to bless us once again. So please, oh God, one more time, will you answer my prayer? I'm your servant. I want to help your people. Use me somehow for your glory. God certainly did. Nehemiah became an instrument of revival. Because this man of God was made aware of the need. And with that need, he brought that need before Almighty God, confessing his sin, claiming the promises of God. A willingness to advocate on the behalf of God's people. A willingness to intercede on the behalf of the people of Israel. And there in chapter 2, please, verses 1 to 4, we see how God opens up an opportunity for Nehemiah to lead God's people not only in the rebuilding of the wall, but also in the rebuilding of God's people. Nehemiah was willing to intercede. For there at the end of verse number 11 of chapter 1, it reads, "For I was the king's cupbearer." I believe in application, by faith, he was saying also, "I was the king's cupbearer." I believe that God's going to do something. And beloved, you and I need to be people of God that believe God, that believe the rainbow. How else do you explain the rainbow outside of God? It's there for all to see. I wasn't the only one that saw the rainbow on that day on Lane Cove Road on the early hours of Thursday morning. But I saw God in that rainbow. And we need to see God in our lives. The God of the rainbow wants to work in your life. He wants to work in my life. And he said, "I was the king's cupbearer," and he was willing to be used of God. Are you willing to be used of God? You men, are you willing to be used of God? You men, the man was created first. May I remind you of that? Because God's called you to lead. Some of you men need to lead your wives. Some of you men need to lead your children. God's called you to lead. And if we're to have revival in 2022, we need men that are going to stand up and lead for God's glory. I'm not talking about being an ogre. I'm talking about leading. Leading spiritually. Leading as a man of God. For the glory of God. And that's what Nehemiah does. He leads. He hears the news. He takes the lead. He goes before God. And he's asking God for an opportunity to do something about this burden upon his heart. And it came to pass. Some 4 months have passed. Note there in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king. By the way, Artaxerxes was not a nice king. We don't have time to dwell there, but he was not a nice person. He could get pretty nasty. The verse goes on to read that wine was before him, and I took up the wine. And I gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforehand sad in his presence. And rightfully so. Not permissible to be sad in the presence of the king. Verse 2, wherefore the king said unto me, this is amazing. He actually asked the question, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick?" The king's almost human here. "So why are you sad, Nehemiah? I know you're not sick." This wasn't normal. If you were found sad in the presence of king, that's the end of your life. It's as simple as that. So God is at work. And then the king went on to say in verse 2, "There is nothing else but sorrow of heart." Nehemiah, you are sad. You are sad because you have sadness in your heart. So what's the problem? This is amazing. What's taking place here? And then note at the end of verse 2, it reads, "Then I was," what does it say? "Very sore afraid." That's beautiful King James English. It doesn't say afraid. It reads, "Very sore afraid." He was petrified. He was scared out of his wits. Very sore afraid. The third verse goes on to read, and said unto the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad?" What boldness! Wow, what boldness! "King, can you blame me for being so broken? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire." What do you expect, king? "The reason why I'm so sad is because my people in their place are in great need." And then verse number 4 goes on to read, "Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request?" And then Nehemiah, very wisely, this is good advice, before he answered this request, this is a once-in-a-life opportunity before King Artaxerxes. "So I prayed to the God of heaven." May I submit to you, my friend, we would be a lot better off if we would just pray a little bit more often. "So I prayed to the God of heaven." And then verse number 5, he pulls the punch. "I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant," acknowledges his position, "have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." See, Nehemiah was willing to intercede on the behalf of God's people in solving this seriously grim situation. And he said in chapter 1, verse 11, that he was a servant and he was willing to do that which was needed. He was willing to lead God's people in the rebuilding of the wall. He was willing to serve. And he was looking to God for that open door to serve. And after 4 months of praying and fasting, God opens up the opportunity. He has an opportunity to share the need. And he wisely makes the request. And in essence, he puts up his hand. And he said to King Artaxerxes, "I'm happy to be that person. If you would allow me, I'm happy to go back and help my people rebuild their lives, rebuild their cities." Nehemiah was an advocate. He was willing to intercede. He was willing to risk his life in making such a request. This was no light thing that Nehemiah does. This could have cost him his life. And this is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who took the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, Jesus Christ was willing to advocate, to be our advocate, to advocate for our sin. As it reads in 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. We read from verse 12 earlier on, but here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation, the satisfaction. He satisfied the demands of Almighty God on the behalf of your sin, on the behalf of my sin. He is the propitiation, the satisfaction of our sin. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And all of God's people said, amen for that. Jesus Christ, our advocate, Jesus Christ was willing to be born in order to die, to intercede on your behalf, on my behalf, to die in our place. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, Nehemiah was willing to intercede on the behalf of his people. My friend, this morning, Jesus Christ came into the world, took the form of a servant, and he was willing to intercede on the behalf of sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And he offers forgiveness for all mankind. He is our advocate, and not for ours only that know him, but for the sins of what? The whole world. Even John Calvin had to admit the word world there means world. He even admitted that. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and he offers that forgiveness to you, my friend, this morning. Just as Nehemiah was willing to intercede, Jesus Christ has interceded for you and I by dying on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day, he arose from the dead, offering forgiveness for you and for me. The question is, have you received him as your own personal Savior? See, he offers that forgiveness, but application to one's life only comes by faith and receiving that forgiveness. For the Bible teaches us the gift of God is eternal life, found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died that we might live. And only by faith in his name can you and I be reconciled. God's people here in Jerusalem were in great need. And Nehemiah was prepared to intercede on their behalf. Once he was made aware, he appealed and he said, "I'm willing to be that advocate. I'm willing to intercede on the behalf of my people. He said to the king, I'm willing to go back and help my people rebuild the walls and rebuild their lives. I'm willing. I'm willing to be that instrument. What about you, Christian? Are you willing? Are you willing to be that instrument of revival? Are you willing to be that instrument of revival on the behalf of others, on the behalf of our nation? See, Nehemiah set the stage. In spite of the opposition, Nehemiah led the Jewish people to rebuild the wall. And it was accomplished in 52 days. Now, once the wall was rebuilt, God's people were still in need of rebuilding. So he brings in the recruits. He brings in Ezra to minister the word of God. So that's tonight's sermon. And Nehemiah brings in Ezra. He's taking care of the walls. Now the lives need to be addressed. Nehemiah set the stage for revival. Let me ask you this morning in closing, is your life, is my life, setting the stage for revival? Revival is of God, but he's looking for clean vessels to work through. He's looking for a Hezekiah. He's looking for a Josiah. He's looking for a Nehemiah. He's looking for vessels to use to bring about revival in the lives of others. It began with an awareness. That awareness led to an appeal. That appeal led to an advocate. He was willing to intercede on the behalf of God's people. Do you want revival in 2022? Do you want revival in 2022? Thank you, Brother Wayne and the rest of you there. Well, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Let's bow for prayer.